Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, we just want to thank you that this evening as we dig into your word, we're going to experience freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know why you're here this evening. I'm sure that there's as many people in the room, there's different reasons for you being here. The way we explain the new series which we're starting this evening, Wired for Love, is it's very open and very broad, and so I don't know what you're expecting, but let me tell you what you can expect, because whatever your reason for coming is, and whatever your expectations are, I want to encourage you to be expectant. Because God's definitely got something for all of us in this message. Even as I've been preparing, it hasn't been the easiest messages to prepare, but it's like, wow, there's so much in it, and it's blessed me already, and I know it's going to bless you. Okay, so we're talking about love. We're looking at what true love is. We're going to be looking at relationships a bit. This is not a relationship series in the area of romance. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it will include a bit of that. And this will help set you up for good romantic relationships. But we're talking about love, relationships, and sex, really. Okay, we'll keep sex for the end so that you come back. But if you're wanting relationship series or anything, we've got some great resources at the table. Go take a look on your way out, and that will help you with the practical things on relationships, on love and marriage and all things to do with that. But we really want to get into I don't know if I can explain it like this, but just a little bit deeper with regards to the fact that we're wired for love. Okay, I've never taught on something like this, and so I'm excited for it. I believe it's going to be good. But let's start off in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So Romans chapter 12, all the scriptures should be up on the screen. I'm going to start off in the Living Bible, and it says from verse 2, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." Can't get more blunt than that. If you aren't ready for bluntness, then take a deep breath. Because I'm going to be pretty blunt through this series. Okay? Not that I usually am not. Hey. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how His way will really satisfy you." The world, everybody is looking to be satisfied. And this is showing us that the only way to be satisfied, change your way of thinking according to God's word, and know His will. So that's what we're going to be looking at. The easy to read version puts it like this: don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. And so the point there is that we have to start thinking according to God's way of thinking. If we're not thinking according to God's way of thinking, we're missing it. Then we're just falling into the pattern of the world. And the world has some good things in it, but it will never satisfy you. God's way is what's going to satisfy you. Okay, so where was I there? It says, "Then you'll be able to understand and accept what God wants for you." Now, let me just say this. What God wants for us isn't burdensome. It's not bad. It's good. He's a good God. He's only got good things in store for you, so you can relax. What He wants for you, His will for you, is not burdensome. It's not negative. It's positive. Okay? "You will be able to know what is as good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect." King James puts it like this: "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay? So, you were wired in a specific way. Okay? Genesis shows us how we were created and all of this, but God created you on purpose and for a purpose. But He also created you purposefully. So it's not like all of a sudden you just happened and everything kind of just works together. It's like a lucky packet. You don't know what comes out when another child comes out. It's specific. Okay? God was specific when He created you, and He wired you in a specific way for something specific. Okay? You can't go any further if you don't believe that. So if you don't believe that, then just push pause on that and try and keep up with me. But you need to accept the fact that God created you on purpose for a purpose, and the way He wired you in a specific way. Okay? And obviously, what we're talking about with the series, He wired you for love. Okay? You were created to be loved. Before you were created to love, but you were created to be loved. Okay? The world and your enemy, the devil, is continuously trying to rewire you. Okay? So this is, you could say this is a spiritual warfare series. Okay? Don't fight with me. As we're digging into it, I'm trying to show you that the devil's trying to fight you. The devil and the world are trying to fight you, and they're trying to conform us to the pattern of this world. If you don't realize that, you've been sleeping. Okay? The world is trying to get us to think in a certain way, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the way that you act is determined by the way that you believe. And so that's why the devil and the world is trying to get us to believe what they want us to believe. Whereas if we believe what God says about us, if we believe what He says is true, then it transforms our lives and we'll be satisfied. How many of you want to be satisfied? Everyone, the rest of you are alive. We all want to be satisfied, okay? So the only way to be satisfied is start to think like God thinks, to allow Him to change our plan, our system, our pattern of thinking, our paradigm. We've got to allow Him to change that and transform that. We can't follow the pattern of the world if we're wanting satisfaction. Okay, if you aren't renewing your mind, renewing, being restoring, refreshing, if you're not reconditioning your mind to what God's way, to His plan, to His paradigm, to His system, then you're going to default to the world's way. Because the world is constantly trying to influence you. So if you're not allowing God's word to influence you in how you believe and what you believe, then you will naturally default to the pattern of the world. Okay, so let me say it like this again. There's no neutral. You're either allowing the world to conform you to its way of thinking, or you're being transformed by the word and you're starting to believe what God says about you, what God says about life, what God says about your purpose, your destiny, etc. You're either being transformed by the word, or there's no neutral. You're defaulting to the world because the world's influence is on all of us. Okay? So are you allowing the world to influence you, or are you allowing God to influence you? Is a question you need to ask yourself. Okay? Are you allowing society to shape you and shape how you believe and what you believe, or are you allowing the word, God's word, to shape what you believe and how you believe? Okay, your thoughts and your heart will naturally affect your actions and your behavior, and that's why this is such an important topic. Okay, now, I might say some things in this. I realized as I was doing worship that I might say some things which shock some of you during the series. Okay, in a new fresh way, a new fresh way of shocking you. And as I was meditating on that, I thought, you know, if you're shocked, it's just an indicator of how you've allowed the pattern of this world to influence you. And so if you're shocked at what the word says, then it shows where your heart is, that you're not allowing the word of God to influence you, which explains why your life is like it is. And I don't know, I'm not speaking to anyone specifically, I'm speaking generally here to people online, to people who are listening to the audio and watching the video. I'm speaking to a very general audience, but I can guarantee you that every single one of us will have the same fruitfulness in this area. If we are shocked at what God's word says, it means we're not allowing God's word to influence us, which means the fruit in our lives isn't as good as it is, as we think it is. We're not living as satisfied as we think we are. You might think that you're satisfied with your life and you don't know God's word and you kind of have your own opinions about things and whatever, but just wait. It won't last long. The world's is momentary gratification and satisfaction. It's not long lasting. Only God's way and God's word can truly satisfy us long term. And it's actually for eternity, which is awesome. Okay, so if God's word shocks you, it's because you're too familiar with the world. And you're not familiar enough with God. I'm not even God's word. The more intimate and we become with God, the more we relate to God, the more we enjoy relationship with Him, the more the world's going to shock us. It's like a scale. There's no equal ground here. Okay? You're either being influenced by the world or you're being influenced by God. And you're experiencing the fruit of the world or you're experiencing the fruit of God. Okay? And if the world is influencing you more than God's influencing you, then what God says is going to shock you. But if God's influencing you more than the world's influencing you, then the world's going to shock you. Okay? It just shows you, if you think about it already, before we get into anything, how much we've already allowed the world to impact us. And the world's primary way of impacting us and contending for our hearts is through media. Yeah, you. I love watching series and movies and stuff. I wish I could watch more. You know, but I enjoy it. And what I've found, I mean, you can see it so clearly, is that through series, especially, and through movies and stuff, they shape your heart to call evil good and good evil, and to like things of the world more than the things of God, because usually they will belittle and ridicule Christianity and Christians and God, and then they rejoice in everything that's not of God, in evil. Okay, so this is a bit heavy, I know, but just tap your neighbor and tell him to wake up. So, you know, as I was thinking about this, I realized, you know, I'm a grace preacher. And so you might be thinking, I thought this was a grace church. You know, it is a grace church. We're all about grace, about the unconditional love and grace of God for you. And I believe that God's not holding anything against anyone. But grace, you know, grace doesn't mean sin is okay. Grace means sin has been paid for. And so even though you're in sin and you're making mistakes or you're making bad decisions, God accepts you and he's paid for your sin. That's the message of the gospel. Doesn't mean that what you're doing is right. It means that God's paid for it. What you're doing is completely wrong, but you're not going to get punished for it because Jesus took the punishment for you. That's the gospel. That's huge. Most times you get into heavy truth in the word and stuff, and preachers just slam you, leave you condemned and ashamed, and that's it. What I'm trying to show you is that, hey, your sin has been paid for. What you're doing is wrong, but hey, God loves you and accepts you because Jesus took the punishment to make you right with him. Righteousness, right standing with God, is not something you do. It's something you received when you received Jesus. You don't do good and then you are good. You receive Jesus and you're good. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let me read it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Says, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's saying that you didn't make yourself righteous, right with God. You didn't make yourself acceptable to God. You accepted Jesus and he made you right. He made you acceptable. It's not based on your performance of sin or goodness or good works or whatever. It's based on you accepting Jesus or rejecting him. Okay, so God's not so interested in actions as he is in your heart and you receiving Jesus. But then we've got to allow the word of God to transform us and to change us so that we can start to see the fruit. A lot of Christians don't see the fruitfulness of Christianity because they're thinking like the world. A lot of us don't see the word, the results that the word is talking about because we're thinking like the world, we're following the pattern of the world, and we're not choosing to renew our minds to what God's word says and change our way of thinking so that we can experience the abundant life in Christ. There's an abundant life in Christ which Jesus came to give us. He died for that. And yet most Christians aren't experiencing it. And the number one reason, I believe, is because they're thinking and following the world, they're not thinking and following God. Okay, so John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Okay, so this is showing us, make them holy by your truth. Your word is truth. Truth is truth. God's word is truth. We can't change to suit our feelings. We can't change truth to suit our feelings. We can't change truth to suit our culture. Truth actually should change our culture. The word of God should change our culture, not the other way around. So we can't rewrite the Bible to fit our culture today and to fit what's being expressed in series and stuff like that. Okay? John chapter 8 verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So truth doesn't change when it comes to know you. You change when you come to know the truth. You don't change truth. Truth is truth. It stays there. But when you come to know the truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When you come to know Jesus, He will change you. Okay? That's awesome. When you come to know Him, it'll bring transformation in your life. Okay, so through this series, you might find that your thoughts and your feelings aren't really in tune with God's Word. It's okay. Okay, it's not condemnation, it's liberation. Don't reject the truth because you're rejecting freedom. Take it, think about it, ponder it, dig into the Word, allow it to transform you. But don't just, you know, that's old-fashioned. The Word is the Word. Okay, it is old-fashioned. It's good. If you find yourself needing some rewiring, then humble yourself and choose to accept the rewiring. Because you were wired in a specific way. You were wired for love, but often we can't receive love and we can't give love because we've allowed the world to rewire our love wiring. But our love wiring needs to be according to God's Word, not according to the pattern of this world. That's why some people struggle to receive love, and that's why some people struggle to give love. Because the world, it's not because of God. I think God doesn't do that. It's the world which messes up people. It's the devil which messes up people, not God. Okay? So, when we submit to our original wiring, that's when we're going to be most satisfied. Amen. So, our original wiring, let's look at it. It's what God created. God created us or wired us to be loved by Him and to love one another. That's pretty much my first point. That was just the introduction, everything else. So, you know, God wired us to be loved by Him and to love one another. Firstly, let's look at how He wired us to be loved by Him. Okay, you might not realize this, but God wired you to be loved by Him. Okay, so John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Okay, so the reason of Jesus coming, He didn't want you to perish, but He wanted you to have eternal life. Okay, now if you were to define eternal life quickly, what would you say? Probably living forever, you know, going to be with Jesus forever or whatever. And that kind of is included in that. But Jesus, who said that, defines eternal life in the same book, John, but in chapter 17, verse 3, when He says, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." And so Jesus defines eternal life as knowing God. Okay, it's relationship with God. The whole purpose of creation, the whole purpose of salvation, of Christianity, is a love relationship with the Creator, with your Father. You were created for this. You were created to receive love from God. You were created so that He could love you. You weren't created so you could serve Him. That's religion. That's legalism. You were created for God to love you. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom. If you're giving your life, especially, you love people. If you lay down your life for people, you love them. No greater love has anyone than to lay down His life for His friend. So Jesus was the ultimate expression of love in coming and laying down His life for us, giving His life as a ransom, in coming to serve you, not to try and get some followers to come and serve Him. That's religion. Jesus came, dare I say it, to serve you. Most of us are looking, how can I serve God? He wants to know, how can He serve you? He sent Jesus. He didn't call you to come to Him. He didn't. The King of the universe could have done that. Say, "Hey, Moira, I've got an appointment with you. Come." Yeah, or whoever. He didn't come and call you to come to Him. He came to you. He laid down His life for you. He didn't expect you to lay down His life for Him. Okay, so He desires that we experience His love. That's why Romans 5:5 says, "And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So this is showing us that the purpose of God's Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is to shed abroad, and I like the Greek there, it says, gush forth. So it's like the floodgates of the dam just opening up, you know, just gushing forth. It's like extreme excess, right? So that the purpose of the Holy Spirit in us is to gush forth the love of God in our hearts. So God wants you to experience His love. God wants you to experience His love in increasing measure. The Bible says there's height, there's depth, there's breadth, there's length, there's different dimensions to the love of God, and He wants you to know that. He's not so interested in, are you doing the right thing? Let me say that again. God is not so interested in, are you doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Because religion will get you to focus on, are you doing the right thing or are you doing the wrong thing? You know what God's interested in? Do you know and are you experiencing my love for you? Takes it to a whole new level. Because if you've got someone's heart, we spoke about this morning, if you've got someone's heart, you don't need anything else. Often we try and go for the actions of people. We're trying to get them to do the right things. God's not interested in that. That doesn't produce heart change. But heart change produces the right fruit, the right actions. So God wants you to know and experience His love because that will bring transformation that you need in your life, that you desire. So the heart will never truly be content or satisfied without knowing the unconditional love of the Father. You will never truly be satisfied or content without knowing and experiencing God's love for you as your Father, as your dad. And He wants you to know Him like that. That's awesome. That was worth coming this evening. We can stop right there. Because, I mean, if you just get that, the love of God for you as father to child, it changes everything. It will unravel religious mindsets that you've got. It will change everything. It will change your way of seeing Christian life and change your way of seeing life and everything. Okay? The world is messed up in seeking to define and experience love. Okay, now, we're talking about this. We're laying a foundation and we're getting towards talking about receiving love and giving love. Okay? Because that's what relationships are about. Friendships, romance, marriage, all of that. But we can't truly receive and give love unless we know the love of the Father. It will never be as good as it should be unless we know and experience God's love for us. Okay, so the world is messed up in seeking to define and experience love. So we can't look at the world's way of defining love. We have to look at what God says. Whenever we seek to define love apart from God, we end up with perversion. Whenever we seek to define love apart from God, we end up with a twisted perversion of what we think is love. But let me show you this. 1 John 4 verse 8 says, God is love. That's why you cannot define love apart from God, because God is love. It doesn't say God loves. God does love you. But it's bigger than that. God doesn't just love. It's not something He just does. His essence, who He is love. That's why every time you pray, you will only ever experience love. Many of us are waiting for the lightning bolt. But that's not going to happen because you're going to experience love. You're going to experience kindness, the goodness of God. Okay? God is love. It's not just what He does. It's who He is. So, you know, God's original wiring, we have to look at it firstly. It's to be loved by Him. And so, you know, how do we allow Him to love us? Number one, we need to receive Jesus. We need to be born again. We need to receive that love in our hearts and then allow the Holy Spirit to reveal more of the Father's love to us. Allow God to love you. Okay, it might sound a bit more mystical than what you expected, but He's a real person. It's not a process. It's not a mechanical thing. It's a relationship. The more you come to know the Father, the more you experience His love. Okay, some people are scared of God because they think He's angry with them. But the Bible shows us He's not angry. He's dealt with sin. Now, if you just get into that right relationship with Him, you can receive His love freely and it'll transform your life. Okay? But the original wiring is also to love one another. Some people think they don't need people. And maybe you don't. But God's wired us to be loved by each other and to love each other. Okay? Genesis 2 verse 18. It's not good for man to be alone. Well, someone single would say amen, but that's fine. Yeah. It's not good for man to be alone. Not just in a romantic marriage, relationship, or something like that, but in general. It's not good for man to be alone. Okay, we were created for community. Jesus sums up the commandments in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. This speaks to our wiring. Jesus is summing up the commandments and he's saying, hey, love God with all your heart and then love each other as you love yourself. Okay, so this speaks to our wiring. We are told in this verse of there's three different commands of love, if you can say it there. Okay, number one, we've got to love God. Number two, you've got to love yourself. Some of you need some help there because you think you're terrible. And I'm saying that in all honesty and truthfulness. Many people can't love people because they don't love themselves. Okay, so we've got to love God, love ourselves, and then we can love others. But here's the thing. You will never truly love your God, you'll never truly love yourself, and you will never truly love anyone unless you first experience God's love. Okay? 1 John 4 verse 19. WYC translation says, therefore, love we God, for he loved us before. Okay? We love God because he first loved us. Other translations put it like this and say, we love because he first loved us. Which means you cannot love even your cat unless you first experience the true love of the Father for you. You can't love anything unless you've experienced that love from God first. That sets you up to love truly and to love properly. That's real love. That's true love. Remember, God is love, and so you cannot experience love or give love without God, because God is love. They're one and the same thing. There's no separation. What the world thinks is love is a nothing. It's hot air. Okay, it's short-lived. It's you know, true love is not give and take, but we'll get there. So we cannot truly love without first experiencing God's love. We will not truly love ourselves unless we realize how much God loves us. And we're never truly going to love others. You know, God called them neighbors. Jesus called them neighbors, right? That means relationship. We were wired for relationship. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself, but you'll never truly love your neighbor, which means you've got relationship with them, unless you love yourself, and you won't love yourself unless you truly have experienced God's love for you. Okay, so God desires for us to know and experience his love. So just a few verses very quickly. I'm going to go over these quickly about God's love for us. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn thee. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That shows God's heart for you. Romans 8:38-39, for I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, and life can't. Angels won't, and the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today our worries about tomorrow or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. God's love for you is powerful. Psalm 136:1-3, it says, praise the Lord because he is good. His faithful love will last forever. That means his faithful love doesn't mean it never stops. It doesn't pause or change because you change. His love for you doesn't change because you change. You change because of his love for you. Okay, so praise the God of gods. His faithful love will last forever. Praise the Lord of Lords. His faithful love will last forever. So, you know, if we just went and meditated on the scriptures about God's love, it would really transform us. We would experience so much positive things in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. But, you know, the reason why we're so messed up because of the world is really just because our wiring was corrupted. Okay, so now you were wired in a specific way, but our wiring was corrupted, and the world is still trying to corrupt your wiring. The devil's still trying to do that. But let's look at firstly just the wiring corrupted, which is the curse of Adam on relationships. What Adam did had a significant impact on relationships. Okay, what Adam did. Okay, so the effect of the fall of man affected relationship with God, and it affected relationship with each other. Okay, so Adam's the original sin, however you know it from Genesis, that affected the way we know relationships. Genesis 3 verse 10 from the Amplified says, now let me just say, Adam and Eve have just sinned, just fallen. Okay, now they're hiding, and God comes walking in the cool of the day looking for them. Okay, who's hiding? Okay, this is the first hide-and-seek game. God is not hiding. Adam and Eve are hiding. God is looking for them. He's not hiding. He's never the one who hides. Okay, so Genesis 3 verse 10, he said, I heard the sound of you, God, walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. God is saying, why are you hiding? Where are you? Adam, where are you? He finds him, and then Adam says, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden. I heard you coming, which means he knew the sound of God walking in the garden because he was familiar with it, because it happened daily for him. There was a constant relationship where he walked with God in the cool of the garden. But this particular day, God comes walking and he gets scared. It says, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So he goes and hides. Okay, so what are the results of the fall? Number one, fear. Okay, he became scared of God. So fear came into relationship with God. Then what came in? Insecurity. He felt exposed. He felt unsafe. Then what came in? He hid himself. He covered up because he was full of shame. He was ashamed. So because of the fall, we have fear, insecurity, and shame. Okay, and that's what dominates a lot of people's relationships with God and a lot of people's relationships with each other. Fear, shame, and insecurity. Some of you know about that. The only way to fix that is to rewire. How do you rewire? You got to receive Jesus, you got to experience his love, and then allow him to transform your way of thinking. Okay? All of these things, fear, insecurity, and shame, are they on God's side or man's side? They're on man's side. And it's important for you to see this. All of these effects are from man's side, not God's. The feelings of fear, insecurity, and shame, which they caused man, or these were because man felt them towards God. Not God didn't put these on man. Okay, these are something which rose up in man, not something that God put on them. Because man all of a sudden was aware of his inadequacies. Man was he was too familiar with his shortcomings. He wasn't focused on God, he was focused on himself. Okay, whenever we get into that place of looking at our wrongdoing and what we've done wrong and what we're struggling with, we become like that with God. Our relationship is marked by fear, insecurity, or shame. And we start to focus on ourselves, not focus on God. As soon as you start to focus on God and what he's done for you, your relationship will be much better. Communion is a good example. If you're taking communion in remembrance of your sin, you're doing it wrong. As soon as you start to focus on your sin and in communion you're dealing with your sin, it distances you from God. God doesn't remove himself. You are removing yourself from God. And as you know, and what it should be doing is, Jesus said, take communion in remembrance of me, him, in remembrance of Jesus. So we're focusing on what he's done for us, and it should be drawing us to God even though we're struggling with something. Okay? God didn't separate himself from man. Man distanced himself from God. That's the point there. God didn't distance himself from man because of the fall. We distance ourselves from God because we felt fear, insecurity, and shame. Okay, Colossians 1:21 says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. This is saying that the separation was in your mind. God didn't separate himself from us. And I know that goes against a lot of religious teaching, so I have to go into this now. Genesis chapter 3, from verse 22 to 24, it says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man, now this is just after Adam has eaten, Eve has eaten and given it to Adam, and so now they've eaten from the forbidden fruit. And so then it says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take and also eat from the tree of life and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim, angels, with flaming sword that turn every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, what this is showing us, many of us believe that as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? God gave them the boot. Hey, you can't stay in the garden anymore. I'm kicking you out. I don't know where that came in, except from the pits of hell. Because if you read scripture, it doesn't say that. And if you struggle with this concept, please go and get the Rooted Discipleship Guide at our resource table, because it goes into depth there, much more depth than what I'm going into this evening. But we believe God kicked Adam and Eve out the garden because they did wrong. But what does this say? Look at it. It says, God says, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, everyone say now. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, what had he done? He had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The actions of Adam and Eve allowed sin, sickness, poverty, lack, depression, everything negative into the world. Okay, so now sin was a new thing in the world. There was bad, there was evil now everywhere. It was unleashed in earth. Okay? And then God says, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, why? So that he doesn't eat from the tree of life and live forever, God sends him out of the garden. God didn't kick him out of the garden. It says God sends him out of the garden so that he wouldn't eat from the tree of life and live forever in his sinful state. So we were created to never die. But because of sin that came into the world, God sent us out of the garden. It says there in part of that verse that he drove man out. So there was the first car right there. How kind of God to drive us out and not expect us to walk all the way. So God drove us out of the garden. Why? Because he loved us. Okay? He drove us out the garden because he loved us. Look at it, verse 22 and 23. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. So God sending Adam and Eve out of the garden was an act of mercy, love, and grace. Death is a blessing. Because we don't imagine if Hitler was still alive. Every tyrant's got his time. Amen? So, you know, evil can't last, evil in particular people can't last forever. They can pass it on, I'm sure, but it's not going to last forever. Because this isn't all we're living for. We're living for eternity. Okay, so this is good news. Okay, so the reason, you know, and if you read further in Genesis, after chapter 3, God talks to the first murderer. We have this mindset that as soon as we sin, God has nothing to do with us. Cain kills Abel, and God talks to Cain. And he's not beating him. He actually even protects Cain. Now, you have to go and get Rooted for more on that. I'm not going to go down there. But the point is when we're not in right relationship with God, it distorts everything else. When we're not in right relationship with God, it distorts everything else, including relationship with each other. We cannot know real love or express it if we aren't in right relationship with God. It all starts with relationship with God. Cain killed Abel because he wasn't in right relationship with God. Okay? When we're fellowshipping with God, when we're just loving God and receiving his love, you don't want to hurt anyone. You don't want to do something wrong because you're just in a great place. But when we're feeling distant from God, we've distanced ourselves from God. And when we've hardened our hearts to God, that's when we start to do evil and do things that are wrong. Okay? So, you know, the fruit of right relationship with God is right relationship with each other. Okay, Romans chapter 1. Now, this might get a bit heavy for you. But Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 32. Let's read through it. I'm going to read through it quickly. Because Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So, talking about, as soon as we distance ourselves from God, man starts to create other things to worship. We start to worship an animal. And if you look at an animal, you know that some of you might struggle with this, but you're better than an animal. Animals were created for us. We weren't created for animals. So God can't be like an animal because He's better than us. So how can you worship God as an animal, like if He's an image of an animal or something? Okay? Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Okay, now gave up doesn't mean he perverted them or he gave them to uncleanness. It means that he gave them what they wanted. You make a decision and you move further and further away from God, and He's not going to hold you there. He's going to give you what you want because you are the greatest influence in your life. You have a free will and you get to choose what you want in your life. Okay, so therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, that's what I was talking about, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of what the error which was due. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want to think about God, they pushed Him away from their minds, God gave them over, He gave them what they wanted, He gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And then it lists a couple of them. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are even whimperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's an interesting one just to throw in the middle of all of that, right? Verse 31, undiscerning, meaning you just really don't know what's right and wrong anymore. Because you're calling evil good and good evil. Untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, what many of us have done, because we love grace and we love the grace of God, is we ignore that. Because it doesn't make you feel good. Okay? But the truth is that grace doesn't make sin okay, it just makes sin paid for. Okay, and that whole passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 1 just is a demonstration of the fruitfulness of a life separated from God. The moment you start stepping out of relationship with God, stepping away from renewing your mind to the truth of God's Word, your wiring becomes corrupted like that. That's corrupted wiring. Now, some of you might have corrupted wiring, and you might need time to process this. So go and listen to the teaching again, study the Word for yourself. But the point is that we need to renew our wiring, correct our wiring according to what God says is true, not what we say is true. Because if you don't do that, you'll never know true love and you'll never be able to give true love. Okay, so I'm taking this and turning it into your relationship with each other, your spouse. It'll never be as good as it can be unless you accept what God says is true and you receive love from Him that you can give true love. So the effects of the fall on relationship with each other, it lists it there. Unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, and it goes on. Bad relationships are a result of the curse. That's the basics of it. Okay? You have a part to play in making bad relationships, right? Because you make bad decisions, or you choose the wrong person, or you are the wrong person, or whatever. But good godly relationships can only exist when we know and experience God's true love. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 from the Living Bible, it says, the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to be king over all. So what happened was Adam sinned, death and sin came and was king over all of us. It ruled over us. Okay? But all who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal, meaning you're right with him now, are kings in life because of this one man, Jesus Christ. So because of Adam, death reigned, which means that relationships were strained. Relationship with God was strained because we felt ashamed, we felt naked, we felt fearful, we felt insecure. But then our relationships with each other were strained because death is reigning in our hearts. Okay? So men were no longer at peace with each other because they weren't at peace with God. Like I said, that's why Cain killed Abel. He wasn't at peace with God. He was, through his offering, he was trying to be at peace with God. But he wasn't at peace with God. And so when he saw someone else having a better relationship with God, he felt insecure and took out the competition. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, amplified version. Not forsaking our meeting together, as some believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more faithfully as you see the day of the of Christ return approaching. So this is basically saying that in the end times, people are going to want to not fellowship with each other. And what I mean is church. I'm talking about Christian relationships. We're not going to want to in the end times fellowship with one another. And it's because the next verse shows us our love will wax cold, which means we're not enjoying and experiencing the love of God. And so when we're not experiencing the love of God, when we're not receiving the love of God, that's when we start to want to distance ourselves from Christian fellowship, from the church. And not being an active part of local church is operating under the curse of Adam. To be completely blunt. Okay? You're harming yourself by not gathering. This is an effect of the curse. It strains relationships with each other. It strains relationship with God. But it causes us not to want to be in community. Okay? But God has wired us for Christian fellowship. So the wiring restored is the redemption of Christ for relationships. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 again. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to be king over all, but all who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal are kings of life. I bet all of us want to be kings and queens of life. The only way to do that is to take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal through the relationship with Jesus. Okay, so we receive his love, his gift of salvation, and it equals restored relationship with God and others. So relationships are healthy. We can give and receive love when we've received love from God, when we've received God himself. God's kind of love. Let's look at it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God is love, so let's look what he's like. It says love is patient. I mean, this is already ruling out what the world says about love. Love is patient, it's kind, it's not envious, it doesn't brag, it's not puffed up, it's not rude, it's not self-serving. The world's kind of love is self-serving. God's kind of love is not self-serving. Okay, it's not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never fails. Okay? You know, this is describing agape kind of love, which is God's kind of love, which can also be said as self-sacrificial love. God gave himself for us because he loves us. The true extent and full extent of true love is self-sacrificial love, agape kind of love. In the Greek, agape. Okay, so this describes God's love for us. That's why John 3:16, for God so loved, for God so agape the world that he gave his only son. True love will cause you to want to give. It'll cause you to want to overflow towards someone else. So we need to receive this love from God to be able to give this kind of love. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, the Message translation. It says, watch what God does, then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. So if you've ever hung around a kid and their parents, the children usually do what the parents do, not what the parents tell them to. You can come and check out our house. Yeah, my four and a half year old and my 2.5-year-old, they usually do what I say, they do what I do, not what I say. So it puts a lot more responsibility on you as a parent. Okay, but this is saying that, hey, we just need to watch what God does. We need to hang around with God. Listen to it. It says, mostly what God does is love you. So if you're hanging around with God and you're paying attention, you're going to see Him loving you. You're going to see Him being patient and kind and not self-serving around you. Keep company with Him. Hang out with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved you. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. When we know His love, then we can truly love each other. Then we'll have relationships made in heaven. Then marriage will be awesome. But it starts with accepting Him, accepting love. And you can't accept Him without accepting His Word, His truth. They are one and the same. Jesus is the living Word. You accept Him, you're accepting the living Word, and He comes to live and dwell in you. Okay? So, we were originally created or wired for relationship with God and relationship with each other. No man is an island. Yes, you and God, but you can't just be you and God. He's created you, you, God, and each other. Okay? The curse of Adam corrupted the wiring, bringing in all sorts of relational problems and perversions. And so that's why we've got to renew our minds to what the Word says about love, relationships, and life to start to see things like God sees them. Jesus came to restore our wiring. It all starts in right relationship with God and knowing and experiencing His love for us. We'll only truly be able to love when we know love, when we know God, because He is love. And so it's all about knowing God, receiving His love, and experiencing His love. That will, you don't have to try and change to have a better relationship with your friends and your partner, your whatever, to have better friendships with people around you. All you need to do is know and experience God's love, and it will transform you. It's effortless. I'm not trying to tell you to do something except know and experience His love. That's all. So let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You for Your awesome love. We thank You that it's all about knowing and experiencing Your love for us. Thank You, Father, that all You want for us is to experience the power of Your love in our lives. Thank You that You love us so much that You sacrificed Yourself, that You gave Yourself for us so that we could be forgiven of everything. You are forgiven of everything. He's not holding anything against you. God isn't holding your sin against you. He's not holding anything against you. He's forgiven you, and He's pouring out His love on you. He's crazy about you. He's not thinking about that thing that you did a few years back or a few months back or even today. He's not thinking about the problems that you've got in your life. He wants to help you, yes, but He's not judging you according to what you've done or should be doing or whatever. He loves you, and He's only got good things in store for you. And while our eyes are closed, if you're in this place and you're saying, I've never gotten into this relationship with God, I've never experienced His love, I've never said yes to Jesus, I've never made a decision to receive Him and become a Christian, then we want to give you the opportunity before we close the service just to receive His love and come to know Him, because that will radically change your life. That's the starting point of everything. You can't truly love someone if you haven't been truly loved. That's the wiring in your brain. That's the wiring in your heart, is to be loved by God. And you can't love anyone until you're loved by God. So if you're here and you're saying, I've never received that love, I've never made that decision, then I just want to ask you to raise your hand so that I can pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come up or anything. But if there's anyone here, you're saying you've never received Jesus, you've never started this process, then just raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. No one else is looking, so you can just raise your hand with confidence if that's you. Thank You, Father, for Your love. Thank You, Father, that You love every single one of us. And I assume that we're all believers here, that we're all we have received God's love initially. And what I want to encourage you in is just to know and experience His love for you, because that's going to transform your life. There may have been some things in the message which challenge you, but just know that God loves you. And He doesn't love you the way that you should be. He loves you the way that you are. God isn't trying to love you towards perfection. He loves you just the way you are now. He's made you right with Him. He's not calling sin good or sin right, but He's just saying, hey, I've paid for it, so relax. Just can everyone just stand up for a moment? Just stand up and open your hands in front of you, just as an act of receiving if you feel comfortable. But just close your eyes and focus on God for a moment. I'm just going to pray for us. Father, I thank you for every single person that's here this evening, and I just speak your blessing over them. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that by your power, you minister to our hearts, you flood our hearts and our lives with your goodness, that you reveal more of the Father's love to us this week. You help us to renew our minds according to the word and not the pattern of the world. That you help us to come to know God in a more intimate way so that we can enjoy this fellowship and give of this love to other people around us, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you're not remembering our sins or iniquities anymore. You're not holding anything against us. You love us. And you've only got good things in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168. Or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.